Forest City Church. Anyone and everyone.
All right, we're going to jump to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. You can turn there. It's in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2. We're going to read about a statement that Paul is making as he is talking to the church in Timothy. Starting in verse 1, he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So Paul is essentially saying to the church here that prayer is a really big deal. And he is urging people, he's using this urgent language to say, pray for each other. Pray for each other in all kinds of ways. And then he says, don't just stop there. Also pray for kings and those in authority. Praying for each other, praying for realms that are beyond your own are part of what it means to follow Jesus, to live in the kingdom of God. And then he says, the reason why we do this is because of Jesus, who is the great mediator. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor, the one who stood in the gap for us, the one who prayed for us, the one who advocated for us. So we follow his way as we pray for others. And really, intercession, praying for others, this is something we see all throughout Scripture. We see in the Old Testament, we see many of the Old Testament leaders interceding to God on behalf of the people. We see Abraham praying for Sodom, for God to spare the good people who live there. We read about Moses interceding on behalf of the Israelites, for God to go easy on them time and time and time again. We see Daniel intercede for the sins of the people by praying and fasting. And it says that 3 days later, an angel appeared, assuring Daniel that God had heard his prayer right from the start. In each of these instances, it's so interesting and unique that when people approach God on behalf of another person or a group of people, something changes. One, God hears, he listens. And ultimately, the situation is moved closer to love and mercy. God responds in a way that moves that person or that group of people more towards love and mercy. In the New Testament, we see the early church. First, we see Jesus. Jesus was very clearly an intercessor as he was sent to earth on our behalf. And then he very clearly commands his people to love one another, to bear each other's burdens. And then we see the early church. The early church was an active community of prayer, of sharing, of praying for each other. We read about Paul and Silas as they were imprisoned. The church was at home in the house church, and they were praying for hours and hours and hours. And what happened? Paul and Silas were miraculously released from prison, unbeknownst to those who were praying, because they were so committed to praying for each other. Paul is urging the church in 1 Timothy, pray for each other. I was getting my haircut the other day, and my hairdressers or haircut stylist? Okay, thank you. I was haircut lady, did not cut it for me. So my stylist was talking to me, and we were talking, and she was saying, I had a friend who told me this story, and her friend told the story about being at the grocery store at Woodman's, and the friend saw an elderly woman who was standing in front of like these big bags of salt that like for the road, and she could tell the woman had not the strength to get a bag by herself and get it into her cart and get it out to the car, but there just didn't seem to be anybody around. And so this woman was just doing her, she was just at the grocery store, right? Like doing her thing, getting her shopping done, probably not the biggest thing she was doing in her day. She had other things to get to, but something in her just stopped and offered this woman help. And she said, hey, I see that you need this bag of salt. You pick what you need, how many you need. I'll get it in your cart. I'll walk you out to your car. We'll get it taken care of. And the woman said to my stylist, it just felt so good. It felt so good just to stop, to see someone, to do something for someone else. I don't know, I don't usually do that, but something in me stopped that day and it felt so good. And so my stylist and I were talking a little bit more about Four City and about our church and about what it means to do life together. And I think there's something so just innately human about the desire to do good. We were created in the image of God, and the image of God is good. It is true. It reflects goodness and mercy and justice. And so as humans, whether it's religious or not, whether we even can determine or acknowledge or define that it's about Jesus or not, there is something in all of us that has a propensity towards good. Goodness, by giving to others, by focusing on others, by serving others, is something that will fulfill each and every one of us. And when we hear people share do-good stories that are apart from the church or just apart from, it's still evidence of Jesus and the image of God. Do you understand that it's still the truth of Jesus that is present in that place when anybody and everybody does something good? And so when I think about these prayers of intercession, praying for other people, I think it's so important because there is something in all of us wired to be for the good of other people. It gets broken and manipulated and yucked by sin and evil in this world, but there is something down deep in all of us that wants the good of others. It is part of what it means to be human. It's not just a religious thing. It is how God created us to be. Prayers of intercession have the potential to not just change the circumstance for whoever we are praying for, but as we follow the direction of the Spirit on behalf of others, it changes us. Our need for good, our propensity to experience good is impacted by the good that we open up to bring to others, and that not only changes the circumstance for someone else, it has the potential to change us. We need both. The ability to influence the circumstance of someone else by petitioning God, and the ability to open ourselves to continued change and good because of what we do for others. We need both to do life together. So I would argue that prayers of intercession, they change the circumstances for other people, but they change us. They change how we love, and they change how we listen. And so we're going to talk about those two things today, how we listen and how we love. So let's first talk about how we love. So intercession, this word intercession, it's praying for others, but it has like something else to it. It has this like on behalf of another person, like putting the other person before yourself. It has this sort of other tone to it, like you're not just like, just doing it to do it. Man, you are in it for that person. You are praying for that person. You are centering on the idea of love, and you are taking whatever it is you have, and you are sacrificing it so that you can pray for that person. You are talking to God. You are asking him. It is on behalf of someone else, and it's whatever it is that you have, whether it's time or energy or urgency or understanding, you are taking whatever that is and you are channeling it to God on behalf of someone else. You are putting them first in that moment. However brief it may be, you are putting them first. It's the time that you would have taken to do something else. You're using it to pray for them. It's the sleep that you would have gotten that night, but God keeps waking you up. You're using it to pray for them. It's the stop in your day or the extra time in your car or the hearing something and deciding to stop in that moment and take that time to pray instead of moving forward with your own agenda that you are taking and you are sacrificing on behalf of someone else. It's not a big thing, but it's an intentional thing. An intercession sort of qualifies as this word where there is something that you have that you are using that moment, that time, that space, that understanding, you are using that to pray for someone else. It might be stepping out of your comfort zone to extend to someone else in a new way. It's making time to gain proximity to another person or group of people in order to know how to pray, because you don't know how to pray for someone else if you don't know their story or know anything about them or their experience. That's an important one. It's taking time to ask questions or ask another question, to be curious, to not leave that conversation as early as you could have, so that you know what's going on with someone, so that you know how to pray. Do you see what I mean? It's these small adjustments. It's these small flexes in your mindset and in your day of stopping and asking, stopping to consider, not leaving a situation. The awareness of, or the ability to step out of your comfort zone or move out of your agenda for a minute before you go back in, and you use whatever it is, those moments, to pray on behalf of someone else. There's something else that I want to talk about when we think about intercession, this idea of standing in the gap. Have you heard that terminology, like, I stand in the gap for that person? There is this this meaning in the Bible of this advocating for, this standing in the gap for, this mediating for, that is important when we to fully understand intercession. This may be surprising to you, but something I love most about the kingdom of God is how it deals with power and power differentials. Whatever it is that we think is powerful or means power or access to power here on earth, in the kingdom of God, it's turned over and on its side. That it's almost opposite to how we view and live out power here. It's important to view an intercessory prayer as a way to advocate for, to show up for, to stand in the gap, to advocate, to use whatever it is you have for another person. How do we stand in the gap for someone else? How do we use whatever power or privilege or influence we have to pray for someone else? I think it becomes so powerful when we think about power dynamics. Because what could it mean for people of privilege or influence or access to power to specifically make time to pray for, to stand in the gap for marginalized people, oppressed people, people who do not have a voice? What might it mean for people of power or privilege or influence to become curious about the experiences or the lives of other people who may not be deemed as valuable in culture or in their sphere of influence, in order to have the information and the curiosity to stand in the gap for someone else who has less access to power or justice or reconciliation or voice? What could it look like if people decided, one of the things that I can take and sacrifice and give as I pray for others is my power, is my privilege, is my influence. If I get real about what I really represent and I get curious about other people who maybe are not in my sphere of influence or who would never cross the lines around me of society, and as I get curious about them, I use my time, I use what's inside of me to channel to God to pray for someone else. And I learn more about those people. I increase my proximity to that group of people. I consider what life on the margins may be like. And I pray to God about those experiences. And then we can even turn it around even further or push on it even further. Because what did Paul say in 1 Timothy? He said, pray for king. Pray for all those in authority. So here's the other amazing thing about the kingdom of God. What God is saying is that wherever you feel powerless, you have the opportunity to influence power through prayer. Wherever it is that you feel you don't have access to a voice, or you don't have access to that decision, or you feel without power, without representation, without voice, through prayer, you have the ability to pray for those in power, to pray for those rooms, those decisions, those people, for whatever it is, you have the opportunity to influence spaces you have never been and nobody has ever invited you to. But in the kingdom of God, the anybody can pray for somebody, and God hears those prayers. Do you hear me this morning, church? Do you see how through prayer, through the kingdom of God, power is flipped all on its side? And it means a better story and a more truer representation of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That rooms that you were never invited in, people that you would never have access to, networks that you were told you were never good enough for, that as you pray, you have influence in those spaces that you would never have here on earth. And anybody can pray for a somebody in the kingdom of God. And what do we know? God hears our prayers and he moves the situations throughout scripture towards love and mercy. So who is it that you can advocate for through prayer? Maybe it's somebody in your workplace. Maybe it's somebody at your kid's school. Maybe it's a specific person or people group who are experiencing life in the margins. I want you to think about your interactions, your day-to-day, the people who cross your path, the people that you know or maybe don't know. Who is it that you may have the opportunity to pray for, to advocate for, to stand in the gap for, that where there is suffering and they don't have the ability to see beyond their circumstance, you do? That where there is difficulty that has gone on and on and on and they just can't find the hope, you can. That where the reality of powerlessness in this society and culture has just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, but you can see and so you can pray. Do you see that? Like whatever it is that you have that that might person not have, you intercede and you stand in the gap for. Now here's the thing. I need you to listen to me. Are we all listening? Here we go. This is the most important part. Intercessory prayer, praying for others, is centered on love. Love. It is not to accomplish an agenda. It is not to establish your own preference. It is centered on love. Intercessory prayer is about participating with God in his desire to, listen to me, in his desire to love and pursue all people. It should flow out of empathy, not anger. It should move us all closer to love and mercy, not power and agenda. It is for people and not for preferences. Listen to me here. When we think about our ability to influence and for God to hear us and move on our behalf, it is always centered on love. If when you think about a person or a situation and a group of people and you're like, I'm going to pray for them, but you just mostly feel mad and angry about them and sort of berate them on the inside, you do not have any business intercessoring for them. Okay? I'm serious. Listen to me. It's about love. It's about whenever God responds, it's to move people more towards love and mercy. And so it's not ranting or mad or berating or dividing sides or making one camp evil over the other. And I know election season's coming up. I know there's division. I know power differentials are tricky. But here we go. It is about love and mercy, not agenda or preference. And we have got to check ourselves. And we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to open us up to what it really means to pray for other people and to pray for people in power and to think about how we move closer to love and mercy. For everyone, okay? When we pray for others, we put that person first, before our own agenda, before our desired outcome. Intercession is centered on love. Whenever I've had the experience or the opportunity or the invitation to pray for people, God often does something in me that moves my heart closer to their experience. I maybe don't even know them. I maybe don't know their whole story. I don't know everything about them. It's not about controlling all of that, right? It's about opening up to see, man, what does this person need from God? What does God want to, how does God want to speak to this person right now? What is it that I can pray for on their behalf? And he often moves my heart. He floods my heart with empathy and love for that person and their circumstance for whatever it is. I struggled a lot in college. It was just really hard for me. And I lived in the town after college that I went to college in. And oftentimes I would drive through campus to get to wherever I was going. And I just would see like just a college girl, lonely, like on her own walking. And I didn't know her, but I just would pray for her. I'd pray for whatever she was doing. I'd pray for her day. I'd pray for whatever need she was experiencing. I would just would pray for her. And it's so interesting how God just moved my heart just to love on those college girls I didn't know anything about. but just to hold a special place for them in that season. And as I drove by, to use that time in my car to pray for them and to kind of connect me with people that I had no idea about out of love. You see, praying for other people just has this propensity to move us so much closer to love and goodness. And that is part of what God has for us and for his people. These prayers of praying for others, they are tools that help us build community around love and healing as God intended. So it changes how we love. And then second, intercessory prayer changes how we listen. I think something that we just need to remember over and over and over again is the important part of asking God first. That interceding is about listening instead of doing. And we got to focus on who that person is and what God wants to say to them, not about solving a problem or convincing God into a certain outcome. It's listening for what God wants to say, reveal, or do for that person. And I think sometimes as the American church, we know how to do. We know how to fix. We know how to solve. We know how to act. We know how to attend. We know how to do. But through prayer, especially for other people, God is saying, listen first before you do. Listen to God. Listen to that person. Just have some space before you go in and solve. Elevate the importance and the priority and the influence of prayer. I think sometimes the criticism of prayer, of the response of prayer, is that it does not have any action. And so I definitely would not say that praying absolves you from any action, but what I think is that it actually prioritizes the action. Because we can kind of be like a ping pong ball, just back and forth, doing, solving, apart from anything that God said or told us to do, without even approaching him first. But as we think about praying for others, about listening, about hearing before we respond, about prioritizing just the practice of praying, we align ourselves with God's way to solve the problem. And if he gives action steps after that, great. But we are prioritizing the practice of prayer before the practice of solving, with curiosity, with influence, equipping us to make better decisions. It doesn't absolve us of our action. It reprioritizes and reorders our action. I think it's so important to remember the power of being with people. That sometimes, as we pray for people, it's our job just to simply be with them. Not to have to counsel them or solve it or answer a bunch of theological questions, but just to be with them. This power of being with is so important. It's so important of doing life together. Once I had my son Louis, who is now just about 8 months old, I've talked about this before, but the postpartum, those early months were really difficult for me. I suffered from just some anxiety and some depression about, like, what am I going to do? Moving from one to two kids was so hard. The hormones were real. It was like a whole thing. And Sundays were the hardest for me after Stephen went back to work before I did, because he'd be gone on Sundays and I was home with the kids and everybody was at church and I'm used to being here, and it was just hard. And so one Sunday I said to my friend, Jackie, who you know, I said, hey, I'm like having a hard day. And she goes, what's your Starbucks order? I'm coming over. And it was a Sunday morning. So she dropped her kids off here and she came over to my house. And she just sat with me. She just listened. She just talked to Romy and did a little puzzle with her. She held my baby. She just sat with me and said, I see you, and it's going to be okay, and let me pray for you, and you're doing a good job, and we're going to get through this together, and you've got this. It's going to be okay. And that moment of sitting with me was one of the more powerful experiences I had in that period of time. And we didn't solve anything. It didn't make it all go away. It didn't like solve all the circumstances, but she came to just be with me. There's another story I heard this week from my friend Amanda. And she was talking about her experience in Colorado with people who are unhoused. and how she was, I think, outside of a Starbucks, and she saw a man who was unhoused holding a sign for money or for food, and she brought him in, and she bought him a coffee and a parfait or whatever it was he wanted, and she just felt like, what else can I do, like, in this moment? Like, I just, there's something else I want to do. I have this, like, urgency in me to see him and to meet him in a different way, and so do you know what she did? She went outside, and she just held his sign with him. Now, if you will hear her story, you know that's not all she ever did at all. But on that day, at that time, with that person, she was just with him. Seeing him, entering into his experience with him. The power of being with. I think something I hope that we take away from this idea of praying for others, of intercessory prayer, is the ability to just be. To show up for. To be with, to love, to sit in, to let it be uncomfortable, to know we can't solve everything, to lament with the other person, to recognize we can't understand totally what they're experiencing, but we can show up for them, to be with. How we listen is we listen to God, and we listen to people, and we just make space to be with. Spending time in prayer, praying for people, will begin to center our own hearts outward. As we advocate for, petition, learn about, bring the needs of others to the Holy Spirit, it will lead us to more ways of healing and connection and community. Praying for others is a practice that centers us on the one another part of our journey. And it creates space for us to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. It's a practice that centers us on each other, us on the outward, us on the people of the margins, and it creates space to be a part of something bigger that God is doing in the kingdom. Two of our core directions that we talk about are going forward with others in community and outward, serving each other together. And praying for others is a practice that helps keep us true to what we said we are about and to what we say we are going to do through those directions that we hold together and value as a church. Not to mention, praying to God for ourselves or for others often connects us with Him as we also seek to go upward. It's this beautiful, holistic invitation that God gives to His kingdom. So how can you practice praying for others and where it may lead you next? If you can't think of someone to be with in your life or someone to advocate for, like we talked about earlier, then go find them. Serve here. Serve here on the weekend. Be part of making this space open to more people to experience Jesus. Look up a local nonprofit. Go spend some time. Do something simple. And acquaint yourselves with the need or the plight, as my friend Keith Reynolds would say, of others. Learn about the experience of others. Hear the stories of other people and pray and respond. Listen and be with. Love and be with. Listen and be with. I know for so many of you that this church community is like a second chance. That you were hurt by community. You were betrayed. You were crushed. You were wounded. I know. I've experienced that too. I know what it means to go through that kind of pain from a community. And I know for many of you that coming together in this way is an opportunity to try again, but it feels really vulnerable. And how do you give your whole self? And do you take risks again? And what I have learned about community is that, yes, community can hurt deeply, but it is almost impossible to heal without a community. It is almost impossible to heal in isolation and on your own. And when I came here, I thought, oh, like, God is calling me to this place to take what I've been through and to be able to bring healing to this space, to be able to bring what is in me and to help the church heal. And what I have found is, yes, that some of that is true, but also you all being here and experiencing church together has moved me further in my healing. That experiencing what it is that is here, that experiencing each of you and being in relationship together and doing life together has not just been something that I have given to, but that I have been able to receive. God has an image, he has a story for communities that heal. It is the purpose of the church to be a healing community, just as the kingdom of God, to move people closer to a taste of the true healing and freedom that they will experience in heaven. And we cannot do that without authenticity, vulnerability with each other. We can't do that without truly showing up for each other and taking risks, and then also opening up the invitation for people to show up for us by our honesty, authenticity, and vulnerability. Communities can heal. They can be beautiful. They can be part of God's plan for the church, and they are. But it takes us being able to open up to whatever it is God is doing. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love." This is so important because Jesus was the great mediator. He was the great intercessor. We intercede for others because he interceded for us, because he gave his time, his life, his death, his resurrection, so that we can experience healing and freedom. And as we pray for others, we model the life and the way of Jesus. But in just the 5 minutes that we have left, none of this matters unless we actually do it. It doesn't mean anything to have all the content, all of the information, unless it is we actually do it. And this would be the perfect time for an illustration about sports or athlete training. But I am not your girl. I am not your girl. I will tell you this, randomly, about this piano. So I learned how to play the piano had piano lessons since I was 4. My little hands couldn't even make the whole octave chord. Week after week, age 4 all the way through high school, I played the piano. Read music, played the piano. And then after that, for various reasons, I stopped playing the piano. We'll probably talk about that in a different sermon. And it's something I hadn't done for a long time. I haven't been around a piano or had access to a piano. And randomly, sometimes when I'm in this building all alone during the week, one day I just thought, what if I played the piano? And so when I know no one is here, and I know probably no one is going to be here, I go and I play that piano. And at first, it was really clunky, and I would have been horrified if anybody heard or saw. And it was clunky, and I had to, like, get back into the groove. But then after I did it a few times and a few times and a few times, you know what happened? There was a little bit of a flow. There was a little flow that came out on that piano, and I thought, oh, I remember this. I can do this. This is in me to do. Listen to me, church. You have the piano playing equivalent of prayer in you. If you follow Jesus, the ability to pray and to intercede for others is a part of your DNA. It's a part of who you are because the power of the Holy Spirit is in you. And so if you don't do it for a while, it's gonna feel weird. It's gonna feel vulnerable. It's gonna feel risky. But as you practice again and again and again, you will remember, your body, your mind, your heart will know, this is the Spirit of God in me, and it is moving me to intercede for people, to advocate for, to get curious about, to be with people in a new and fresh way that I never knew I really had, but now that I'm doing it, is totally who I am. You have the ability for the flow, for the prayer. That is in you, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't do it. And so in this moment, I just want all of us to consider, what does it look like to do it? What does it look like to identify that person? Here we go. And like either do it or make a plan to do it, right? Let's get specific. What kind of goals are those? Like SMART goals or something, right? Like you're going to identify that person. You're going to commit to do it, and you're going to make it happen. And this is totally not the kind of language that I usually revert to, but I think it's important for this scenario so we're all clear that it is time to do and to go and to make it happen. And all of the talking about it doesn't mean anything if we never do it. So I'm going to pray for us. And as we pray, I just would love for you to consider who it is that God may be putting on your heart to pray for today. And if they are in this room, you might even just move over. Okay, don't be weird, okay? Don't be weird. Just be you. You don't need to be anything weird to do it. Just move over to them. Let them know you are with them. And then commit to pray for them this week. And come back next week and tell us what the Lord showed you. Dear Jesus, I'm just so grateful for this community of people, for the ways that we want to show up for each other, for the ways that we want to be about each other, for the ways that you are leading us to stand in the gap for, to advocate for, to intercede for, to be with. And I pray in this moment, God, that you just would release any barriers. I pray that you would release just anything that gets in the way. And that as we consider who it is that you may be placing on our heart to intercede for, to advocate for, God, that you would do it in a fresh and new way. Holy Spirit, that you would empower your people in this moment to connect with the call on their hearts to love people, to pray for people. May I just make space in this room that if there is a person on your heart, if there is a plight on your heart, if there is a suffering on your heart, if there is a healing that is needed, if there is a situation or a circumstance awaiting a devastation, a brokenness, a hurting, a sickness, an illness, that you would create so much love and compassion in our hearts and you would move us towards empathy for each other. That you would help us to put aside our agendas, put aside our preferences, put aside our comfortabilities, and you would move us towards empathy and love and mercy for each other, that you would give us wisdom, you would give us grace, you would give us peace, and that this week, you would create opportunity for us to step outside of our agenda or our schedule or our way and to make time to be with, to listen, to love, and to pray. That those muscle memories of prayer would come back. That the ability to see people would be renewed. That our eyes would be open to people in a way that we didn't see before, that you would change how we see, that you would change how we look, that you would change who we see. Jesus, that you would make us people who love, who hear, who show up for, who stand up for, who draw a line in the sand out of love and mercy and goodness and justice. We pray for those who are hurting in this community. We pray for the reality of suffering and sickness and disease and brokenness. We pray for the hold it has on us still as we experience life on this earth. And we release your goodness. We release your healing. We release your love. We release your way to solve the problem and change circumstances, and we participate with you, God, as your power is released over and over and over in the interchange of praying for each other and for people. Never let us forget that we can be at all the right events. We can attend all the right things. We can check off all the boxes. We can look as though we have it all together, but God, it could all be broken and messed up. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to our first love. Bring us back to those basics of loving you and loving people and being with and asking you and showing up and doing the small things, for those are the kingdom of heaven. That is the way of Jesus. That is the fullness of you. Oh man, we could go on for more and more, but we give it all to you, Jesus. We love you so much. Show us the way. Keep us on track. Don't give up on us. God, show us what you have for us here at Forest City Church as we do life together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're going to agree with me? Amen.